morning. It is good to see you here this morning, and so thankful that God has given us a beautiful day to worship together. And I trust that today you've come with a heart ready to receive and a heart ready to praise the Lord. And so let's stand together and sing. And we want to sing today about the grace of God. And so Brady is going to come and lead us in some music.
Sing with me this morning, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord on this first.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen, and it is good to welcome you back. And some of you coming back for the first time in a few weeks. And either way, we're just delighted that each and every one of you are here. And again, thankful to have Jenny with us today, Brady's girlfriend. And we got a chance to meet her on Wednesday. And we welcome her here in our service this morning. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this service. We praise you, Father, this morning so much for loving us. And thank you for your grace that we truly cannot comprehend. But we sure thank you that it is by grace that we are saved. It is not of ourself, but we are so thankful that you have made the way possible, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise that is. And it is our prayer this morning that if there would be any in this service that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they have never experienced that saving grace, may they today enter into that. May they come to know of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We ask that you would encourage our hearts throughout this service as we just exalt you, we lift you up on high, and we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. And we are mindful this morning once again to pray for our country. And we would ask that there would be a spiritual healing all across this land that would take place. We trust and pray for our pastors that are faithfully standing behind pulpits today and leading their churches and preaching the word. May you grant them courage and help them to be filled with the Spirit. And may they see you do great and mighty things within their services that we're asking you to do here even in this day. I know that you know what the needs are of the people that are in this service. I would ask that you would work in each heart and that you would meet people at their point of need. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Sing with me again this morning, Amazing Grace, this great old song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I want once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Lift it up on the last.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Great singing. Sing one more song with me. Jesus is coming again.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Sing that with me one more time.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Great singing this morning.
Amen, amen. Are you glad you're saved this morning? Say amen. Amen, amen. And again, I trust that you had a great week and that things are beginning to look up for you and that God is just working in your hearts and lives. So thankful for the opportunities in this past week to serve Him and live for Him. And these are days in which we need to be doing that for sure. And so thankful. Well, take your Bible this morning for our scripture reading and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We'll be noting the first three verses of this particular passage. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3 this morning. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1. If you don't know where Revelation is, it's the last book of the Bible and easy to find there. And again, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want you to keep your place there. Today I'm going to begin a summer series with you entitled Future Events That Will Rock the World. Future Events That Will Rock the World. And the Bible has about a fourth of the Bible is prophecy. Some of them have been fulfilled, but yet there are still many of them that have not been. And so we're going to be looking at some of these future events that will really rock the world. And so pray with me, and we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you this morning for the power of your word, and we do thank you that your word does tell us not only of the past and the present, but it also tells us of the future. And help us not to look at this and say, well, praise the Lord, I won't be here, so this really doesn't apply to me. Because it really does apply to us, and so help us this morning to begin to understand these future events that will really rock the world, because it'll be events that they have never seen before, and yet you will be working in the midst of all of it. So speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained. Just to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I could tell wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. But when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I could tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation
mountain up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Of grace that we're saved. Appreciate that. Now, you don't want to miss tonight. Tonight will be Brady's opportunity to preach the Word of God. So he can sing and he can preach. So praise the Lord. He'll minister to us tonight, and look forward to that. Revelation chapter 1 this morning. Revelation chapter 1. And we have seats all the way up here to the front, folks. If they're, we want you to come on up. All right. Come on in. All right, Revelation chapter 1, and we're looking at the first three verses. We are excited about the future because the future belongs to God. When we understand that the future belongs to God, then it gives to us peace. A peace that, if you would, we understand that God has a plan. He had a plan in the past, he has a plan in the present, and he also has a plan for the future. And that gives us peace, that even though we may not understand how things are going to fully unfold, but we can have a peace knowing that God does have things set forth even from the foundation of the world, just like there was a certain time in which his son Jesus would come into the world and be born of a virgin. Likewise, there is a set time when Jesus Christ is going to come again. And so this gives us, as God's people, a peace. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there is no reason for you to fear what God has planned for this world, because he promised that he has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance from the wrath to come. One Bible teacher wrote this: Bible prophecy is not written to scare us. It is written to prepare us. God's word reveals these future events to assure us that he is in control, even when the world appears to be out of control. And boy, doesn't that seem like right now? This world seems to be out of control, but I can tell you, based on the authority of the word of God this morning, that God is very much in control. This isn't catching God by surprise. This didn't just knock him, if you would, off his throne. He's still on the throne, and he's working all things out according to his will and according to his plan. And so in this series of messages, I want us to learn that the coming of the Lord draws near, and that we as believers are living on the edge of eternity. But think about that for a moment. For us, this is good news. For the Bible says in the book of Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that we have the confidence that we will see him. And that, I believe, that time is drawing near. In fact, the Bible says it's nearer than when we believed. One Bible teacher wrote this, that the book of Revelation is more than the final book of the Bible. It is the fulfillment book of the Bible. It tells us what this world is coming to. It tells us what to expect in the future, as what will be experienced in the future. Through the book of Revelation, the future is unveiled, unfolded, and understood. The book gives us our own time machine to travel into the future and get a glimpse of what the world is coming to. So with that in mind, we find here these first three verses of Revelation chapter 1, four truths that I want to leave with you this morning that will help us get prepared for the future events that will rock the world. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 1, that the central person of the book is Jesus. Notice what it says. Verse number 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that there is going to be a time in which Jesus Christ is unveiled. You know, from time to time in our society, really around the world, there will be times when there will be a statue of an individual that they want to honor, that a statue will be unveiled. And many times they have this sheet over that statue, so nobody really knows what it looks like except the person that made it. And then as you're there with that ceremony, they drop off that sheet and you see this great statue of this individual unveiled. Well, if you would, verse number 1 tells us that this whole matter of the book of Revelation is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he is the focus not only of the book of Revelation, but he is the focus of all of the Word of God. The Word of God shows us Jesus. In fact, someone has said, and I like it, that this book, the Bible, is a hymn book. H-I-M. It is all about Jesus. And here in verse number 1, he tells us that the central person, the central figure of the book of the Revelation is Jesus Christ. And he is going to be unveiled. And we find that when Jesus Christ comes the second time, he will not be destined for the cross, but for a crown. Not coming as a suffering lamb, but a sovereign Lord. Not coming in shame and poverty, but in splendor and power. Jesus Christ, then, is the central figure of the book of the Revelation and also of the future events that will rock the world. It is all focused upon Jesus because one day he is going to come and rule and reign upon the earth. Now let me just say this as an aside. Sometimes when people read the book of Revelation, they try to get hung up on a lot of different things. And I understand that because I have been there myself. For instance, is Jesus Christ going to come before the tribulation? Is he going to come in the middle of the tribulation? Or is he going to come at the end of the tribulation? Well, now there have been good minds who have debated that very point. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming before the tribulation begins because he hasn't appointed the church to wrath but to obtain salvation. But having said that, may I say that if we get all hung up on the different matters in the book of Revelation and miss Jesus, you miss the whole point of the book of Revelation. Because he's the central figure. He is the focus of the book of Revelation. And so the central person of the book is Jesus. Do you know him today? Say amen. 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 Notice secondly, the clear purpose of the book. Notice now in verse number 1. He says to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So the clear purpose of the book is to show his servants things that are going to come to pass. So when you read the book of Revelation, yes, the central focus is Jesus, but also we find that it is to show unto his servants, in this case, John, who wasn't the only one, but he was the main author, exiled on the Isle of Patmos at the time. And this is when he received this letter and he penned the book of the Revelation. And so the clear purpose of the book is to show the future events, what is going to come to pass. And as I think about that, I think about how that God makes known his plans to his servants then, but may I say, listen carefully, that he makes his plans known to us today. Now you say, Pastor, why do you say that and how do you say that? I say that because the Word of God tells us not only of things in the past, not only things in the future, but God makes known his plan to us now. Let me give you some examples. It is God's plan that all people come to know his Son Jesus as their Savior. For the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it is God's plan, not only in the past, not only in the future, but also in this very service, that if someone doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would come to know him as Savior. That's part of God's plan. That is part of God's will now. It is part of God's will after we are saved that we then understand what is will for us. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for your life? Well, let me give some of that to you generally. For instance, it is God's will for every Christian here this morning to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That wasn't just given to the pastor. That wasn't just given to an evangelist or to our deacons. It was given to every child of God that it is God's plan, God's will for each of us then to tell someone else of Jesus and how that they can be saved. It is God's will for each of us, as we will see here at the end of the service this morning. After one is saved, it is God's will that a person then get baptized. Now, when you see these two individuals this morning get baptized, they're not getting baptized because they want to get saved. They have already had that done in their life. There was a time in their life, and you will hear their testimony, how they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They know that if they were to drop dead, even right now, before they entered into that baptistry, that they would still be in the presence of the Lord, because they know it isn't the water that saves them. It isn't the water that washes away their sin. It is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their faith and trust in him. And so now, though, they want to be obedient and obey that part of the Great Commission that says, go, tell them of Jesus, then baptize them. And so this is what is part of God's will and God's plan. It, for instance, also, one more. It's God's general will for all of us as Christians to love one another. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. So it is God's general will for us then to love one another. So as you see here in this passage in Revelation 1, as God was making known to his servants then, what is my future will? What is my future plan? Likewise, in this day in which we are living in, God has a will, God has a purpose, God has a design for our life. And so the clear purpose of the book was to show his servants the future, to show them what is shortly to come to pass. But then notice this, if you would, in verse number 2 and verse number 3, the comforting promise of the book. Here it is, a blessing. In fact, the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that ties with it a blessing when you read it. You say, well, Pastor, I get blessed wherever I read. I get you, so do I. But this is one book that gives you a specific blessing when you read it. God said, I will bless. Notice verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now note verse 3. Here's that comforting promise. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. So this promise then says there's three things that will happen if you will do them. He says, one, if you will read the word of God. That is, if you will read the book of Revelation. Some of you know this, for at least the past 6 years of my life, I read the book of Revelation every month. You say, Pastor, are you beginning to understand it? I feel like I'm beginning to. There's greater minds than I who have studied this great book of Revelation, and sometimes they sit there and scratch their head. I wonder how that's going to work out and so forth. But I'm telling you, I love to read the book of the Revelation. Here's how I do it. Today is May 7th. So this morning in my Bible reading time, I read Revelation chapter number 7. And I just spent time reading that. Tomorrow I'll read Revelation chapter 8. And I'll go all the way through the book of Revelation each and every month. Now, there are other books of the Bible that I will read, but this is one that I read because the Bible says there is a blessing to those who read it. But not only to those who read it, but he says those who hear it, and those who also will keep it and observe it, obey it. Now, why would we be blessed? Why would there be a blessing tied to all of this? Let me give you three thoughts. One, because it unlocks the mystery of history. Look in chapter 11 of Revelation. Chapter 11, and look, if you would, at verse number 15. Chapter 11, verse number 15, we find this verse. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Look this way this morning. I want you to understand something. This world that seems so out of control, this world that is definitely headed for future events. Understand, we'll get into this in a few weeks, but there will come a world ruler upon this earth. His name is the Antichrist. He does not have, anything good about him. He will come on the scene as a man of peace, but the Bible reveals to him as the Antichrist. Well, you get to a point in which, as you look at future events, that Jesus Christ is going to come from heaven's glory, and he is going to set up his kingdom here on this earth to rule and reign forever and ever. He will be known as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I tell you, church, when you hear me say so often, we are on the winning side, that's why I say that. We have to keep that perspective in mind that we are going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be able to live in that kingdom with him forever. And so when we read the Word of God in the book of Revelation, it helps us unlock the mystery of history, and that is that Jesus Christ is going to come and rule and reign on the earth. Keep that in mind when it seems like the forces of evil are triumphing, and there will come times when it appears that way. Understand, they don't have the final word. God who sits in the heaven, the Bible says in Psalm 2, he shall laugh and he shall have them in derision. And there will come a time when the kings of this earth will gather themselves at the battle of Armageddon, like one last chance to rid this world of God. But what they don't know is they lose. Jesus Christ will rule and reign. You understand that as you read the book of the Revelation. Then notice you're blessed also because it brings a sense to suffering. Go to chapter 21. Look now at verse number 4. Suffering is nothing new to the world. The world has known suffering ever since the fall of man. All the way back when God created man, God created woman, they sinned. And the soul that sins, it shall die. But notice now in Revelation 21, verse 4, this is in the context that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I realize over these last few months, a lot of tears have been shed. A lot of heartache has been experienced, a lot of hurt that people have gone through over these last few months. But when you get to the end of the book of Revelation, you understand that there will come a time when God, I can almost see him take his holy hands and wipe his eyes. Wipe our eyes. Wipe those tears. Because you see, even in the time of the tribulation, there will be what the Bible calls the tribulation saints. And they will go through a lot of suffering and heartache, even in the time of the tribulation. And they are going to go through a lot of sorrow, a lot of death, a lot of crying, and a lot of pain. And he says, but I want you to know this, that in heaven, in the presence of the Lord, there'll be no more presence of sin. And sin brings heartache. Sin brings sorrow, right? And so when you read the book of Revelation and you yourself are going through heartaches and you're going through difficulties, you can say, praise God, this will come to pass. This will not last forever. There will come a time, praise God, when we are in his presence, and no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. But then notice this. Why is there a blessing if you read the book? Because it gives stability in chaotic times. Look, if you would, back to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8. Revelation 1, 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The Bible tells us in James 5:8, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What's he saying? Yes, Jesus Christ is coming, but stay settled. Don't get, if you would, in a mode of fear and panic, but rather trust that God's plan is working. Sometimes we can lose that perspective in the midst of what's going on around us. I know in these last few months, people have been dealing with frustration. They've been dealing with discouragement and depression. And then you add to what's been going on in our country the last couple of weeks, all of that chaos that has been going on in our bigger cities. And people are just, they're beside themselves. They don't know, some of them don't know where to turn. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to step in and say, offer hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. You can have peace in him. And we find that he is the one that brings peace in times of great instability. He gives stability in the chaotic times. There was a man who used to walk a tightrope. Some of you older believers may know his name. His name was Blondin. He was a master of balance, and he would walk at precarious heights across a tightrope. Somebody asked him, how do you manage to do that without falling? Blondin said, go and look on the other side in the direction to which I am walking. Do you see that silver star? I placed it there. I never take my eyes from it. I put my eyes on that star, and I walk toward it. That's what gives me stability. And may I say, church, this morning, what gives me great stability in these chaotic times is I keep my eye on the star, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised that he is coming again. We stay focused on him because he said, I will come again. Amen. And so in light of that, this morning we see these truths, but let me share with you one more. And that is the certain prophecy of this book. Notice now as you go back to chapter 1, verse number 3, he closes verse 3 out and says, for the time is at hand. We then are living on the edge of eternity. Jesus Christ may come today. Do you believe that? Wow, silence was deafening. Maybe I need to back up with the message and go the... Let me try that again. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again?
Amen.
Amen. He is coming again. The time is at hand. Now think about this. We have within our hands what we call the completed revelation of God. From Genesis to Revelation, this is God's infallible word to us. So when this book was written, and other books that deal with prophecy, they wrote it in such a way that they believed that Jesus Christ was going to come in their time. He didn't. Here we are now, several hundred years later, after the Bible was written, that we are standing here, I am standing here, and declaring unto you, the time is at hand. Just because he didn't come in Paul's day, just because he didn't come in John's day, doesn't negate the promise, I will come again. The time is at hand. In fact, it's nearer than when Paul believed it. It's nearer than when John believed it. And it's nearer than it was 50 years ago when I first got introduced, one, to Jesus as my Savior. But it's nearer now than when I first believed. Jesus Christ is coming. And Jesus Christ's coming may not be immediate, but his coming is always imminent, meaning that he can come at any moment. 1 Peter 4:7 says this, that all the end of all things is at hand. Philippians 4:5 says, the Lord is at hand. He's ready. He's coming. When I was a boy, my father often was gone because of work, sometimes even up to 6 weeks. But we always knew Dad would be coming home. And my dad was a little bit different when it came to discipline versus my mom. You always enjoyed being disciplined by mom. Her spankings didn't hurt. Oh, we kind of like fake cry and then we go off and laugh. I know that was wrong, disrespectful. I get it. I don't know if she knew that we laughed, but oh, man. But we never did with Dad. It hurt. It did. But I remember my mom saying something like this. Wait till your dad gets home. Wow. Now, mind you, sometimes it'd be 6 weeks out. So as much as we wanted Dad to be home, we knew it was coming. And sure enough, because he said to us before he left, he says, if mom has to spank you, you'll be getting another one when I get home. Double punishment? Come on. I thought the law, you couldn't be tried twice. But anyway, but I often remember her saying that. Wait till your dad gets home. Now, she meant it in the sense of a fearful thing. But may I say, Our Heavenly Father has promised that he is going to send his son, Jesus. And for us, this isn't, if you would, a fear. But according to 1 John, we have this confidence that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus. We're going to be like him. What a day that will be. During the American Civil War, General William T. Sherman was driving his troops on his decisive march to the sea. He had left behind in a fort on Kennesaw Mountain a small contingent of men to guard the rations. General John Bell Hood of the Confederate Army attacked the fort, and a fierce battle followed. One-third of the men were killed or wounded, and J.M. Corse, the general in command, was severely injured in the fighting. Just as he was about to hoist up the white flag of surrender, a message came through the signal corps set up, on a chain of mountains. General Sherman was within 15 miles of the fort and had sent the message, "Hold fast, we are coming." And those few men were so encouraged that they held on and kept the fort from falling into the hands of their attackers. Church, we have the promise. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. I'm coming. Amen. I'm coming, church. Don't lose hope. Don't get discouraged. Keep looking up, because I promised I will come again. And church, with that in mind, may I close and say what this does for us. It ought to do two things. One, it ought to help us understand that because we live on the edge of eternity, we ought to be filled with a sense of urgency. Urgency. If you're here without Christ today, you ought to be filled with a sense of urgency that I need Jesus as my Savior, because Jesus Christ can come today. And if he comes, you will be left behind. And you don't want to be left behind. You want to be able to go up with those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Lord offers you that opportunity today to come and believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. It's an urgent matter. If you have never prayed and asked Jesus to save you, then today, if I could make the decision for you, I would. But today, trust Christ. Believe on him. Receive him as your Savior. Church, it is then upon us as well to live a life of urgency. Urgency to say, you know what, I'm going to live all out for the Lord. I'm not going to keep spinning my wheels in life. I'm just not going to just kind of go haphazardly through life and wait till that day and when I'm in the presence of the Lord. You can do that if you choose, but you're going to miss out on so many blessings. This is a day and age, church. If what this world's going through right now doesn't wake up the church, I don't know what will. This is a day for the church to wake up and serve the Lord with great passion, great urgency, and say, I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to read his word every day. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to tell others of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be faithful to my church. I'm going to be faithful in my giving. I'm just going to be all out for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I tell you today that the coming of the Lord draws nigh, and the Bible tells us to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And that's where I want to be when Jesus comes. How about you? I want to be fervently serving the Lord. That, believe me, over the years of my Christian life, there have been times when I have just been kind of flippant in my walk with the Lord. I haven't been real serious about it as I should have been. I've been sharing with Brady that one of the things the Lord continues to challenge me about in my own personal walk is to learn more and more how to pray. Because you see, God tells us, pray without ceasing. And so when Jesus comes, I want to hope, to believe that I have grown more in my prayer life. I want to be able to have confidence when Jesus comes and not be ashamed. Jesus Christ is coming, Christian friend, and today, because he's coming, there's future events that are going to rock the world. Now stay with me just for a moment. We'll wrap this up. I believe that the Bible teaches that for the church, we will be raptured. We will be taken out. Then there will come a time on this earth known as the tribulation period. You have friends, you have coworkers, you have relatives that don't know Jesus as their Savior. That breaks my heart, that breaks your heart. So therefore, because Jesus is coming, we don't want anybody left behind. Right? We can't make that decision for them. I can't make a decision for someone to trust Christ. I can only present the gospel. But I've been asking God to give me more and more boldness just to speak up and tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm telling you, what I am witnessing is this, is that those that don't know Christ, they're bold with their radical agenda. God help me to be bold with a great agenda to tell people of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? This calls for us as God's people. There's going to be future events that rock the world, but now, let us be fervent and serve the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. My friend, let me ask you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know for sure that if you had died, you'd go to heaven? I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who say, Pastor, I know, based on the authority of the Word of God, not based on a feeling, but based on the fact of the Word of God. Pastor, I know that if I died right now, that I'd go to heaven. I know Jesus is my Savior. If you can say that this morning, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Would there be those here who say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know Jesus. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to know. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. I want to know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. The Bible tells you how you can know, and we're here to help. And I wonder if there'd be those that would say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. Would you raise your hand, drop your hat, just lift it up and put it right back down while we wait. Say, Pastor, I don't know, but I want to know. I don't know that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to be ready when Jesus comes. Anybody at all, just lift your hand up and put it right back down while we wait. Anybody at all? Now, would there be some Christians here who say, Pastor, I believe that Jesus is coming. You haven't had to convince me about that, but I realize in my life there needs to be a greater sense of urgency and fervency in serving the Lord in my own personal life. And I would that you remember me in prayer, that I will become more urgent and live for God, and more fervent, more passionate about living for Him in light of these future events that are going to rock the world. God has challenged me about that, Pastor. Would you raise your hand, rub your hand? So yes, that's me. I want to be more fervent. Yes, God bless you. I want to be more fervent. Yes, God bless you. I want to be more compassionate toward others. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Other others this morning, God's dealing in your heart. Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. So you remember me in prayer, Pastor, that I will be more fervent, more zealous in living for God. Anybody else while we wait? In just a moment, we'll stand together and our pianist will begin to play song of invitation. As she plays, I'm going to encourage you just to come kneel here at the front, or you can kneel at your chair. And just ask the Lord to help you this week to have more of a sense of urgency in living for Him and more of a sense of fervency in serving Him. Won't you come this morning as God has spoken to your heart? Now, Father, I'm thankful that you know the heart of each individual here. And if there is a precious soul without Christ, may they come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior today, before it is too late. Father, for the many that have raised their hands, help them now this morning to surrender to you. Help them this morning to say, Lord, have your way in my life. Help them now to make these decisions that you're impressing upon their heart. In Jesus' name, let's stand together with our heads bowed as Sherry begins to play through. God's dealing in your heart. Won't you respond now? Take some time and just kneel here and pray, or kneel at your chair. But won't you come and say, Lord, stir up within me a greater sense of urgency and fervency and in living for you in these days. Won't you come? God bless you. God dealing in your heart. Won't you respond? Anybody? God dealing in your heart. Respond to Him. Kneel at your chair or come and kneel here today. Sing with me now if you would. Have your way, Lord, have your way. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold and make me yours today. Have your way, Lord, have your way. Amen.